Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see all of your smiling faces today, and welcome to the Lighthouse. You will notice we're a little smaller than normal this morning. That's because our kids are having Youth Converge service. So the last Sunday of every month, all of the teens and kids have a service together where they do their own worship together and then have a sermon, and it's all back in the youth sanctuary. So if any young people want to go back at any time, you can just go to the welcome desk and they will have a leader come up to get you and take you back into that youth service. So if you'd like to do that, you're more than welcome to. And then we do have a few announcements for today. First of all, I apologize for my voice. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. But I'm thankful that even when we are not 100%, how many of you know that God is still 100%? So in our weakness, he is still strong, and I'm so thankful for that. Today we do have our Steadfast Nursing Home Ministry. So that is open to everyone. We sing some songs and have a message for the people that are living in the skilled nursing and rehab. That is on 199 headed towards Upper. So if you'd like to go and be a part of that, it's at 2 p.m. today, and they would love to have you. And then also, we have an Impact Eternity video, because we've been talking a lot about eternity this month. And we just want to welcome everyone who's here. If this is your first time, we are so glad you are here. We always like to say the first time you are our guest, but the second time, if you come back, you're family. So if we don't scare you away the first time, then we assume that you're going to come be a part of us. And we're excited to be the body of Christ together. Amen. Everybody has a part to play. And so we have a video from our national office that talks a little bit about what we've been talking about this month, about impacting eternity, and that eternity is important. And then after that, Brother Jesse will be coming with our call to worship scripture.
Well, hello, everyone. We have arrived at our last week of Impact Eternity Month. And our prayer is that this month has helped you gain greater clarity on the calling God has for you and your churches as he fulfills his redemptive purpose in the earth. Now, all of us have been sent by God to see every person and then move as a church into the harvest, praying for every nation that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Well, this week, we will focus on something very important to the heart of God, celebrating every story. Throughout this week, we will reflect together on how our own personal story fits into God's redemptive story, and how the work of salvation that he has done in us will now become a work he does through us to change the world around us. We will see how important it is to embrace our story, write our story, share our story, and come to a deeper understanding of why our story matters in light of eternity. So as we wrap up our Impact Eternity Month, let me encourage you. This is God's harvest, and we have been invited to be actively involved as sent laborers into his harvest. Pray that you have a great final week, and may God bless you. We will be highlighting the
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. All right, we got a couple of people that are awake this morning. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. You know, we serve a good God. Actually, we serve a great God. And he cares deeply for us. You ever come to a place in your life where you're like, I don't even know what God is doing? Okay, we got a couple people in here that have been there. I've been to that place, and I found that God is faithful, that God has a plan even when we mess it up. Ever been there? Anybody ever messed up God's plan other than me? We got a few people in here. Praise the Lord. And God knows our hearts. He knows what we're going to do, and God has a plan, right? I want to read this in Psalm 34, verse 4. And it says this, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me, and he freed me from all my fears. I think when we begin to establish a relationship with God, and we see that he is trustworthy, and he's not going to move like the things of this world move. And we begin to establish that relationship, and we begin to let our walls come down that separate us from God. How many know you can be a Christian and still have things that keep you from going deeper in your relationship with God? But we serve a faithful God who's long-suffering. He knows these things about us, and so he's going to continue to woo us or draw us unto himself so that we can have a deeper connection with him, so we can understand who we are in him, so we can know that we are created for his purpose. And when we understand that, then we can fulfill his purpose. Amen? How many of us would like to fulfill God's purpose for our lives? Let me ask you this real quick. Have you ever felt unfulfilled in what you're doing? All right, so I want to encourage you, find the purpose God has created you for and begin to fulfill that purpose. Because when we begin to pray to God, he will answer us. He will answer us. We have to pray in faith, believing that God will answer us, and he will do what he said he will do. Amen? Amen. If you would stand with me this morning, and we'll pray over the tithes and offerings as we bring them. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, God, and I thank you for what you're doing here in this place today. God, I just pray that you would bless these tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tell me, how did you feel when you came out of the wilderness? Came out of the wilderness, came out of the wilderness. Or how did you feel when you came out of the wilderness, walking with the Lord? Oh, I felt just like singing when I came out of the wilderness. About my Jesus. can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus, and let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Who can wipe away the tears of broken dreams and wasted years? Tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong things that you would go and undo if you could. He can work it all for your good. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty. Strong and his grace is free, and the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus, and let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who could take care that much about me? Let me tell you about my sing that again, congregation. Who could take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who could care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace. Can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus, and let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Sing hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
This morning I want you to look around at all these people in here this morning. Some of them look all holy, all cleaned up, but you don't know. Do you hear me? You don't know. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what kind of thoughts they had. You don't know what kind of choices they had. You don't know. It's not what you look like here. What's going on in here? And you may have a brother or sister sitting next to you who've got tattoos from the ends of their fingers all the way up to the top of their head. But you don't know. You don't know what God has done for them. You may be sitting next to a person who looks all holy, but inside their suffering and sin has gripped their heart until they don't know what to do about it, because you don't know. But the Holy Spirit knows. And He says that the Word of God can reach down into places that nobody else can reach. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your amazing grace. Can you praise with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing grace. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are
mercy reigns, unending love. unending love. Amazing grace. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me all my days. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. My chains are gone. I've been set free. And like a flood, his mercy reigns unending. I once
was blind, oh, but now I see. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I just began to live since amazing grace of God came, and I just began to live. Oh, I just began to live. I just began to live since amazing grace of God came, and I just began to live. Oh, I just began to live. I just began to live. Since amazing grace of God came, I just began to live. Oh, I just began to live. I just began to live. Since amazing grace of God came, I just began to live. Oh, I just began to live. I just began to live. Since amazing grace of God came, I just began to live. Oh, I just began to live. Just began to live. Since amazing grace of God came in, I just began to live. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All my life you have been faithful.
All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God.
Come on, lift your hands and worship the Lord right now. Whether you know it or not, He's been nothing but good to you. For there is only one that's good, and that's God. He's kept you. He's watched over you. He's loved you, even when you have rejected Him. That is the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white. There's healing in the blood.
There's healing in the blood of Jesus.
Healing in the blood of Jesus. Yes, there's healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There's salvation in the blood.
There's salvation.
Hallelujah.
In the blood.
Thank you for saving us and rescuing us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Salvation in the blood.
There's
salvation in the blood of Jesus.
It washes white as snow. There's victory in the blood.
There is
victory in the blood.
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
So much
victory in the blood of Jesus.
There is
victory in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And oh, the blood of Jesus. Come on, sing it out, congregation. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow, and it washes white as snow. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and just give him thanks. This is a sign of surrender under God. And we give you our lives, Father, because you sent your son Jesus to give his life for us. And we spilled his blood on the cross at Calvary. It redeemed us from all sin and unrighteousness. It cleansed us and made us whole, as if it were washing us white as snow. Hallelujah. We thank you for your blood, Jesus. We thank you for your sacrifice, Jesus. We thank you for your cross, Jesus. For in that we have found complete victory. And we thank you for your resurrection, because in that we have found new life and new power. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, people of God, lift your voice. Lift your voice unto God. Let's worship him. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our glory. He's worthy of all the honor we can give him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise your holy name, God. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Hey, spromahatia roboko itana manana manana masi. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My hope is that your heart has been stirred this morning already to use your faith and believe in Jesus Christ. And we're going to go before the Lord in prayer right now. Some of you have needs. Some of you came in here with needs. Some of you came in here with people
that you care about that have needs. And what I want to do is join our faith together. If you need prayer for something or you know someone that needs prayer, basically this is a prayer request. I want you to just slip your hand up. We don't have to tell God everything doesn't need to be known by everybody else. God just needs to know, right? And we see these hands lifted right now. And what we're going to do, the Bible says that we're just two of us would come in agreement concerning any one thing, it will be done. And what we're going to do is we're going to come in agreement with the Word of God. That way we will know we're not out of alignment with God. And His Word says that we can cast these cares upon Him. We can bring them. We shouldn't be anxious about anything, but we should just bring them to the Lord in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So this is what we're going to do right now. We're going to join our faith together in Jesus Christ. We've been singing about Him all morning. We've been singing about His power. We just talked about how powerful His blood is. He's the healer. He's the redeemer. He's the deliverer. Amen. And as we pray, God hears our prayers because that's what the Bible says. And I want you to believe that God's hearing you pray. And when you know He's heard you, He's a good God and a good Father, so He's going to do something about it. So then what we're going to do is we're going to stand on that faith. We're going to stand on that blood. And we're going to believe that God is intervening and moving. We don't have to see it. We just have to believe it. Amen. So let's join our faith together right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank You, God, that You have made a way to You for us by way of Jesus Christ. And God, we come in the name of Jesus right now. Now You saw every uplifted hand and You know every heart and every mind. You know what every soul is going through, Lord, and You know exactly what needs to happen. Now we have our ideas, God. We have our ways that we think that things need to go and play out. But God, we turn them over to You right now. And we put our faith and trust in You that You know best, God, and that You will intervene and move in Your timing and in Your way. Not our way, God, but Your way. And so we turn these things over to You right now. These petitions, these requests, these needs, we give them to You right now. And we know that You will supply all of our needs according to Your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we stand upon Jesus Christ right now. We stand upon His faith in that name, the name that has all power and authority in heaven and in earth. So we bind up those things that need bound up right now so that they cannot run rampant anymore. And we loose the freedom of Your Holy Spirit to do what You want it to do and what You want Him to do. The freedom of the moving of the Holy Spirit. The freedom of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We release it right now. And You said whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so God, we stand in faith believing right now that it is done. Now You see those loved ones that we care about. You see those loved ones that we are concerned for. And we plead the blood of Jesus over their lives right now. We plead the blood of Jesus over our homes and over our families. We plead the blood of Jesus over our schools. We plead the blood of Jesus over this church. And we plead the blood of Jesus over this nation right now as we stand together and we believe that You are moving and You are hearing our prayers, God. For Father, we thank You that You have given us an audience with You through that blood of Jesus Christ. We stand upon Your promises right now in faith believing, Lord. I thank You that You've stirred up the faith of those that are here. I thank You, God, that You are moving on our behalf. Now we give You all the praise and the glory and the honor because we've come to You with requests, but we also come to You with thanksgiving. For Father, we've seen You do it, and You'll do it again. You'll do it again. We've heard in Your word that You've done it, and You'll do it again. You'll do it again. We stand upon the name of Jesus Christ, the firm foundation, knowing that it is done, and it is done Your way. We release these burdens to You right now, and we thank You, Lord, for everything that You're accomplishing. In us and with us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, just lift your hands one more time. Give God thanks. give him praise. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 You may be seated in the house of God if you wish to be. You can keep praising him if you want to. We have freedom in this house. Amen. Do want to let you know if you have babies that need to go to nursery, you can take them at this time. And if you'll notice, most of our young people aren't in here because today is YCS. We also have our, is it called primary class? Did I get that right? Preschool. I always call it primary. It's preschool. What's the difference? Can someone please explain that to me so I can get it right? What? Primary's older? School age? Oh. So preschool, your preschoolers and your babies for nursery, you can take them back now if you wish to. You don't have to, but we want to provide that for you. And I'm thankful for all of our workers that deal and minister to our young people. If you don't know, today is YCS, or Youth Converge Service. And that's when all of our young people come together in one big service. The teenagers are with our kids. The teenagers, it gives them a time to be leaders in the kids' life. They have one big service from the start of our service to the end. They minister to one another, and our youth pastors and teen pastors are in there working with them. And then also we have people this morning that will take your preschool age children to your babies. And, you know, it's not a babysitting service. It's not a babysitting service so that you don't have to deal with your loud kids during church. It's not what it's about. Because if that's true, I would just tell everybody, stay in here and I'll deal with your loud kids. Because they don't bother me none. When I hear a baby cry out in the middle of church service, I just assume they're crying out to their father. I say, amen. Right? Loud kids don't bother me. I'd rather have loud kids in here than... Don't be mad at me, but I'm just going to say it, all right? But then a bunch of old people that are half asleep. Now, come on, somebody. Right? We are a multi-generational church. That's what we are. And so what we have in place is not babysitting. It's ministry. It's ministry. And you have to know those people back there who are watching after your babies clear up until your unruly, defiant teenagers. That's what we want to say, right? The truth is they're just trying to figure out life. Clear through all of them, they are being ministered to, all right? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm thankful for them, and I just praise God for what they're doing. And we have seen great things come out of these YCS services, a great unity in our young people coming together, kids just praying for one another back there, and great ministry. And so this is our YCS service for them. And so if you have kids in here and you want to ask some people, they can possibly get you back there at this point. That's okay. But also this morning is our Reach service. Now, those of you that have been around here for a while know that we have been talking since the very beginning of the year about reaching and teaching people, right? We reach out to our community with the love of Jesus Christ so that we can bring them in to the kingdom of God and teach them more about Jesus Christ. It's basically the sense of evangelism and discipleship, but some people don't know those words, so we've used reach and teach to help us understand. And so this morning we have a reach service along with what we're doing on the general level of the Pentecostal Church of God, which is impacting eternity. And I want to just say a few words before we move into the preaching of the word. I think it's important that we keep eternity at the forefront. It's so easy for us to get focused on the now and the present and everything that's taking place right now that we will lose sight of a future that will never end, church. Now, that's exciting to think about, but it's also confusing to think about because we live in such a temporary world that everything we experience comes to an end. right? Everything that we know always comes to an end. So we cannot truly fathom in our finite mind a world and a time that will never come to an end. And that's why it's so important that we keep that in front of us, that although I don't fully understand it with this mind, I'm going to get a new body someday. I'm going to get a new understanding when I reach heaven, and I will be with Jesus Christ forever. Forever. That's part of the good news of the gospel, right? That we will always be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it's important that we as Christians keep that perspective, because we cannot minister effectively unless we understand that this life is temporary. Amen? If we don't, then we'll start trying to meet the needs of this life. We'll start trying to focus on how we can help people now more than we can get them to heaven. And no matter how difficult life can be sometimes, there's always hope in Jesus Christ when we understand that there's a future for us out of this world. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's why we're talking about impacting eternity. What we do now matters for the future. And I believe with all of my heart that as we have prayed over our city and praying over our region, and we have invited people to come and be a part of this service and invited people into the kingdom of heaven, that we are impacting eternity. I like it what it was said once: we are going to depopulate hell and populate the kingdom of God. Amen. We're taking people right from the pits of hell, and nothing can stop us because the gates of hell cannot prevail against his church. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what this morning is about. That's why we did this. And so I know that God has a word for you, and I'm excited. I've been talking with Evangelist Nicholas Hall for some time to have him in, and I'm excited to have him this morning. I believe it is an appointed time of God. We've prayed about this. We've sought God about this, of when we should have him in, and God said, do it today. Do it at this moment. And so I know he has a word for you. So would you give him a hand clap and a welcome as he comes this morning? And I just got to say one thing, brother. Bro, blessed up, man.
Let's give Jesus a great hand clap of praise, why don't we? Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much this morning. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come to your house. Ask, Lord, that you would bless these few moments of the preaching of thy word. Lord, let it be followed with the demonstration of your word. Father, you sent your word and you healed. You sent your word and there were signs following. So we pray, God, that we would have the same effect as we deliver your word. Pray, God, that you would kill any part of pride, any flesh. Lord, and I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would rise up within us, Lord, that we can deliver the word of God in truth and in love, Lord, with the same authority that Christ taught us to have. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for another opportunity to be in his house. I'm glad to be here on this morning. I'm so thankful to the Lord for my salvation. So rich, so free. You know, I often say it took Christ and his entire life to save me. And the only thing he asks for now is my belief in him. He never asked me to do X, Y, and Z. He encourages me to practice good habits according to the word of God. But he never told me that you have to fast so many days in order to get to heaven. You have to pray so many hours to get to heaven. You have to dress like this or dress like that or do this or do that. He said, whosoever will believe in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. All he requires is my belief in him. And then when I believe in him is when other things come that I now put off my old man because of my belief in him and take on the newness of who he is. A lot of times in church, and I don't know why I'm going this way now, but a lot of times in church, we try to work from the outside in when God wants to work from the inside out. How do you know this? Because I've been raised in church my whole life. So I thought that I had to do this, I had to do that, I had to do this. And a lot of things were not so much sin, rather more than preference. But can I tell you something? God really wanted my heart, and then he would fix everything else on the outside of me. But rather we try to give him the outside of us first when he's saying, I'll deal with that in time. But right now, I need your heart. Well, why do you need my heart, Lord? I need your heart because you have a heart of stone. So you're carrying all of you when I need you to carry a heart of flesh, which is the heart of me. So I'm thankful for this salvation. I'm thankful that I've been saved since I was 11 years old. And I often say, I took a few turns, went down a few hills, did some things I shouldn't have done. But I'm thankful that the Lord always let me come back by grace and mercy. When Pastor Joel was talking and he was telling us to thank the Lord, I was beginning to thank the Lord. And I told the Lord, I said, I'm so thankful. I said, for when you found me. And the Lord stopped me. And the Lord said, I never lost you. I said, okay, well, let me change it. I'm thankful that I found you. Because he's never, ever lost us. We are his creation. The Bible tells us that our names are written on the palm of his hand. You all know that song, got the whole world in his hands. He not only has this whole world, but he has you and I and everybody else. Whosoever will believe in him, they're on his hand. And those that are not yet in the faith or yet believing in him, he yet has knowledge of them because they are yet his creation. Now their acceptance of him is when their names become written on the palm of his hand. And then the Bible said, no man can take it away. Nobody. I don't care if you like me, you can't take away my name off the palm of God. I don't care if my boss likes me or not. They can't take away my name off the palm of God. No matter what we think about each other, if we are true blood-bought believers, we are unable to erase each other's name off the palm of God. You ever been? I've been self-righteous. So you think you know the way, nobody else knows the way but you. And if they don't follow the way, they're lost and they're just going to die and burn in hell. When God is saying, I don't really care about Nick's way. I don't care about Pastor Joel's way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah to his name. I'm feeling pretty good already. So I do honor the Lord. Because I found him. I honor the Lord because I was that sheep that was once in the fold but somehow wandered out the gate. But don't worry, because there was a shepherd. And I like to think of it like this. The shepherd never really lost me. He just followed behind me and kept finding where I was until I stopped one day and he picked me back up and put me back in the fold. So I'm thankful. I'm grateful for this salvation. I'm thankful for that amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I heard a woman say that I grew up listening to in church, you don't know how wicked you are until you go to seek God. Because in ourselves, we think we got it together until we go to seeking the Lord. And then when we start to seek the Lord, he'll tell you, I don't like that, I don't like this, I don't like that, you need to change that, get rid of this. And you're like, what? You know these things that we do, and then we stamp them with, saith the Lord, or unto the Lord. If we really took time to seek God before we do it, we would save ourselves a lot of heartache, because the Lord is saying, I don't want that, and I don't want this, and I don't want that. All I want is your heart. I just want your heart. That's all he wants. So I come today to deliver the word of the Lord. And the good thing is, if you don't like me, tell Pastor Joe, don't call him back. Because when I leave here, I'm hitting the highway and I'm going home. But I came to deliver the word. And we do honor the Lord to our pastors here. Let's clap our hands for the leadership of this house. Pastor Joe and Alicia, to everyone whom honor is due. And I do honor the Lord to my wife and my daughter's mother, Sister Brittany Hall. Can we clap our hands for my wife? And to my daughter, Avea Grace. I told my wife, no matter how early you try to get up, you still seem to be rushing. You try to get the baby fed, changed, put her clothes on her, and then you say, okay, now I'm going to get dressed. Never works like that. Because she wants to know, where are you? So she's going to start crying. Because she want to know, where y'all at? What you doing? And why ain't I with you? But I do honor the Lord for the blessing of our daughter. The doctors told my wife that she had a sickness which would prevent her from having children. And that's all the doctors knew. But I guess they didn't know that there was a God in heaven who made our bodies and who he speaks to the wombs of women. And when he tells you to conceive, you're going to conceive. I'll never forget the Sunday morning my wife came in to the kitchen. I don't remember what I was doing exactly. And she said, Nick? I said, yeah, because she was in the bathroom quite a long time. And I thought, man, don't she know we got to leave in a little bit? And she comes in and she's standing at the island that separates our kitchen and everything. And she says, Nick? I said, yes. She said, I'm pregnant. I said, what? I said, how'd that happen? Nine pregnancy tests later and a doctor's visit, we were pregnant. And I love to say, you know, my wife, she was such a trooper through her pregnancy because she was sick the entire time. And I was thinking about it this morning when I was loading up the car, how much of a trooper she was. Here I am anxious, not in a bad way, but I'm anxious because I tell people that first doctor's visit, you know, when they put that little Doppler on their stomach and they let you hear the heartbeat, I'm telling you, I still to this day can't explain the feeling I felt of joy that flew through my body. And I was just telling a coworker about it, that when I heard that heartbeat going, and I was like, wow, that's mine. And, you know, my wife was sick the whole time, and here I am just anxiously waiting. That was the longest 9 months of my life. And it probably was of her life, too. I'm like, I can't wait. She's like, me either. Then in the hospital, she's laying there, and they have forgotten to give her any pain medication. So she's laying there with no pain medicine. And, you know, and I like to say, I'll tell it, and then I'll get to my sermon. You'll get a 3-for-1 special today. So I like to say, when we went in, her pregnancy was so rough that, you know, everybody from the church, our last Wednesday night, they were saying, God's going to bless you. You're going to have an easy delivery because you had such a hard pregnancy. I'm like, yes. It was the hardest labor. I didn't even go through it. 22 hours, you know, she can't eat. I did go to Pizza Roto, but I ate, turned my back to the corner. And I guess I didn't know that your back doesn't cover the smell of pizza. So she's sitting there sucking on ice cubes and popsicles, feeling all these contractions and things. And 22 hours later, because I asked the doctor, I don't want to admit it, but I am very impatient in a sense. And I said, how long is this going to take? And she said, could be 18 to 24 hours. I said, okay, that doesn't seem too bad. Well, then, you know, they had the worst cable in the world. There was nothing that I watched on TV. And so my wife is sitting there, and, you know, I'm sitting there, And there's only so much Facebook you can scroll. So much of these boring shows that I don't enjoy, I can watch. You don't want to nap because she can't sleep, so I'm trying to stay up with her. And all these hours later, it comes to the place where they have her turning and turning and turning, and I'm wondering, okay, what's going on? You know, the nurses ain't saying nothing, but you kindly know when you're in the hospital and nurses, they come in and say, the doctor will be in to see you in just a moment. Well, what's going on? Oh, you're fine. The doctor's just going to come in, right? What? The doctor is at home. They ain't just coming in to check on me. So what's going on? Nothing. Everything is good. Just keep turning on your this peanut ball, and we'll see you in a couple hours, okay? So I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm just believing them. I ain't never been in the hospital before. Okay. I'm thinking it's kind of weird, but the doctor comes in 5 o'clock that morning and says they had broken her water and everything, and nothing was working. They said she's sunny side up. Her head is stuck in your pelvis, and she's not coming through. We're going to have to do an emergency C-section. So I start crying. You know, we're all sleep deprived. My wife's pregnancy was already so hard. And now here you have this labor that's just tormenting almost. And I began to cry, and I'm holding my wife's hand. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, I said, what are you doing? And the Lord said, trust me and everything will be okay. So I said, okay, I trust you. They wheel her in the room and they give you this one little gown suit. I'm telling you, it's so tight, or I'm so fat. I don't know which one it is. I couldn't sit down in it. My mother-in-law had to zip me up and everything else. I couldn't move. I'm walking like that because I can't bend my legs. It's going to tear. And so here I'm doing all of this, and we go back, and they say as soon as we get her, you know, as soon as we start the surgery, they said, you know, we'll bring you, and then you can sit with your wife during the surgery. Okay, sounds good to me. Well, it's about 10 minutes, nothing. 20 minutes, nothing. Well, then I don't hear anything. So the nurse comes out to me and says to me, Mr. Hall, your wife's body would not take to the epidural. We had to put her under general anesthesia, which is very dangerous. We're going to need you to wait in the room. I said, what? I said, I can't be back there. You cannot go back there, sir. So I'm standing there and I'm waiting, and about 10 minutes later, you know, I'm telling you, they work quick. 10 minutes later, there's this cart wheeled in, and this little infant in this newborn in this cart, and all the nurse says is, congratulations, Dad, and walks out. I'm thinking, hello, where is my wife? And then there's this really, really light-skinned baby, and I'm wondering, and I'm looking at myself, and I'm looking at the baby, and I'm like, they gave me room 14's baby. There is no way this one is mine. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, this is not my. But sure enough, she carries my name. So if it was room 13s, I got 13s and she got mine. But anyway, we thought we were doing great. You know, my wife was, you know, recovering, and she was recovering good. And I'm going to tell you all something. You know, the devil, how many knows that when God goes the blessing, the devil gets the messing? And I'm going to tell you all something. So we were at home, and, you know, everything was going good. And my wife hadn't received any pain medication. She hadn't taken any pain medication. They sent us home with some. I think she took maybe one during the whole time, you know, because her pain was so bad. But can I tell y'all, a few days later then, my mother-in-law was staying over the house, and we began to have these demonic encounters in our house, where I was laying in the bed one day, and my wife is shaking as if she's convulsing, and she's crying, and she's telling me, I don't know what's wrong, and we're praying, and we don't know what's going on. Well, then this black image figure walks in my room, and the whole room gets darker than what it really was. I start hearing pounding in the back of the baby's room. So I'm thinking my mother-in-law, because she had came over to help take care of the baby and had taken off work, and you know, so that I could help take care of Brittany and she would take care of the baby and we would swap. And then the next day I said to her, were you in the baby's room in the middle of the night? She said, no. But when I got up, she said, to feed the baby, she said, I felt somebody and I thought it was you all coming to check on us, because you know, Brittany, as much pain as she was in, she's like, let's go check on the baby. I said, her mom got her. No, let's go check on the baby. You know, this is that new mom thing. And so she said, I turn around and there's this black image, she said, of a man just standing by the chairs. We're under all of these demonic attacks. First, she wasn't supposed to have a child. Second, we had the child. But in the middle of having the child, she suffered greatly. Her struggle was physical. Mine was more mental, trying to figure out what was going on. We're being fought. Well, then fast forward to a week later, I got called to do a funeral, and I asked my wife, I said, I know we just had a baby. If mom comes and sits over, do you mind if I go and do this funeral? I don't mind at all. So I said, okay. Well, we ended up staying at our mother's house, you know, the night before the funeral, because I needed to get up fairly early, and we start hearing our daughter choke in her playpen, and then she quits breathing and starts turning colors. So we're rushing to the ER. Well, the doctor was more panicked than we were. She's like, why is this happening? What's going on with this baby? I don't know. That's why I'm here. They can't figure it out. They rush us to Rainbow's. For 2 hours, they're trying to get veins in her one-week-old vein. There's blood everywhere. She's crying. Brittany can't be there. She's a basket case. I'm standing there, you know, because I'm trying to hold her hand. Well, then they're doing these artery checks, blood spewing everywhere, and I'm thinking, what is going on? Our daughter had aspirated on her vomit, choked, went unresponsive. They had to drain her throat out and all the rest of these things. You not know that the devil does not want you to carry the fullness of God through in your life? He doesn't want you to carry the plan of God through. So he sends all of these roadblocks to you. He sends all of these distractions to you. And here we are trying to pray and ask God, you gave us this daughter. What's going on? Because your word says that the blessings of God make rich. They don't add any sorrow to it. And all it seems that we're facing is sorrow. We're sitting in Rainbow Babies Children's Hospital. It's torturing to see our daughter be poked constantly, to hear her cry, and we can barely pick her up because of all these IVs and catheters and various things in her. And I'm wondering, where are you, Lord? But what did he tell me? Trust me, and it will be okay. So he kept telling me, and I kept telling him, I'm trying to trust you. But it's getting harder and harder. My wife is looking to me. I'm the priest of the home. What are we going to do? Why is God letting us go through this? And I don't have the answers. I don't have the answer. I don't understand why God's letting us go through it. So I tell her, we just got to keep believing when I don't even believe in my own self. God wants us to learn how to trust him. And only trusting him is what will carry us through to eternity. Have you trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? Jesus knows my every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I love the song, Through It All. And then you know something? When you first get saved, you're just so happy to be saved. We just be singing everything. Promise him that I would serve him till I die. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And we're just singing and we're just shouting and going for it and all the rest of that stuff. And then temptation comes and, what am I going to do? I don't want to do this anymore. But as you walk with the Lord, you really start meaning some of the songs that you start to sing. So I used to sing, I've had many tears and sorrows, questions about tomorrow. I really didn't have no questions about tomorrow. And I really didn't have no tears. And I really didn't know any sorrow.
So through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And you know, and we sing these songs, and they're great songs, but it's not until you encounter something that makes that song real to you that now you don't just sing it from a place of I like the word, but you sing it from a place of I've been there and I know that God is able. So I can tell you now, I thank God for the mountains. I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he brought me through. Because if I never had a problem, I would never know that God could solve. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! I would never know God could solve them. I not know what faith in the word of God can do. And can I tell you all, we need to get the word of God in our heart and in our mind and in our soul, because there will come a time when I'm so overwhelmed with life that I cannot read the word. It's an ideal thing to read the word of God every day. It's a desire that I have to read it every day, Pastor. But sitting in the hospital, not sleeping, because when you do get sleep, the nurse has to come in there and wants to talk to you like it couldn't have waited till 7 in the morning. Why come in my room at 1 in the morning to tell me you're not getting discharged today? No dip, Sherlock Holmes. So not only are you sleep deprived, you can't read because your mind is everywhere wondering the what if. Share something with you. Last week, my daughter went through this little constipation thing. And so, you know, this is our first kid. So everything is taken like to the 10th power because of everything she's been through, you know. And so here we are, and here I am again, because I'm not going to tell you that I don't worry, but I try not to worry. So my wife and I were sitting there, and my daughter's just screaming in pain because she's, you know, trying to use the restroom, but she's unable. And, you know, the devil starts talking to me. Well, if she doesn't go for some time, poison will run through her body. She'll die. Medically, that's correct. Spiritually speaking, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't want for anything. The Lord God, our healer. So I just started saying God in due time, and I don't like to change dirty diapers. I said, just let it blow out. Desperation will cause you to pray crazy prayers. I said, because I don't want my daughter in such pain. We tried the apple juice. You know, I'm gonna tell y'all something. The doctors are great, but everything they have told us don't ever work. Try apple juice, and she loved it too. She's like, try pear juice. All right, pear juice. She's loving it. Prune juice. She loving it. Nothing. Well, try this prescription. Nothing. And it was finally on Wednesday night that I told God, I went to church that night, and the baby was so fussy. Brittany said, I'm just going to stay here with the baby. I told the Lord in church, I said, now, God, you said you were the healer. I said, you also said, suffer little children, bring them under me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom. I said, so I'm bringing your daughter to you. He just loaned her to me and Brittany. This is God's daughter. Even when I was praying, I'll never forget, I was so glad that I got to pick the name. And, Brittany was, you know, thinking to pick the name. I didn't really have any good names, I guess. And one day I was laying in the bed and I was praying and I heard her name. And I told Brittany the name and she was like, that's actually a good name. And so we looked up what it means, because do you all know that words have power and your names means something, and when you literally come into the fullness of the knowledge of your name, you can understand your calling a little better. So then her name means God is my father. So now I am just the lone dad. But ultimately God is her father. So I told God, hey, your baby needs something. And do you not know he'll come through for you every single time? Every single time. Can I tell you all, eternity is a scary thing because it knows no time. We live in time. I believe it's Chronos time. God lives in Kairos time. I'm not going to try and act like I can break all these words down for you. My wife and I, we listen to Bishop Kevin and Devin Wallace out of Chattanooga, Tennessee quite often. Been blessed to have some of the friends there, and they teach, and we were listening to some of their teaching last night about the Jewish New Year, and tonight begins Yom Kippur, which in the Jewish faith is their Day of Atonement, where they go into sackcloth and ashes in a 25-hour period of fasting from sundown to sundown to repent for their sins and to ask the mercy of God. And I was reading, and I was listening to them, and I was listening to what they were saying about this year being 5784, and 4 being the door. It's the year of the door. And do you all know that when we came into this season, this is what I love about God, because God does not operate on our time. He operates on his own time. So what I love is that before I really was informed about what the 5784 in the Jewish year meant, the Lord spoke through Pastor Karen there at the Ada church that I was in last week, and the Lord used her to pray for me and tell me, this is the time for you. God's getting ready to open doors. Praise the Lord. He's opening doors, right? Then I find out what the 5784 is, that this is the year of the door. So God is speaking based off the time and season that we're in. But what I love about it is that what Bishop Wallace and his wife said in their sermon was, it's not just a time of open doors, but it's also a time of closed doors. Do you all not know that the blessings of God are just as much behind the closed door as it is the open door? Because he'll close the door to your mess, close the door to your past, close the door to your weakness, close the door to the lust of your flesh, and he will open the door to his strength and his perfection. So let's go to Matthew 24th chapter. Matthew 24, let's start at 3. Matthew 24 and 3. If we can stand for the reading of the word. And it reads, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciple came unto him privately. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. You may have your seats. Growing up in the church, I heard nice quotes like, the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to the one who holds on, or to the one who endures. And it's not mentioned like that so much in the Bible. But I like it, so I'll take it. But then I also remember a scripture that I ministered on at the last family camp that I was at. When ye did run well, who did hinder you? I was praying at home a couple of nights ago, And the Lord asked me a question. He said, how will you finish? How will you finish? Can I tell you all, eternity is not given to those who never mess up. Eternity is not withheld from you because you messed up. Eternity is not withheld from you. Now, let me tell you something. Let me rewind. Let me tell you, you must repent when you mess up. You got to repent. Don't go say, well, the evangelist told me I'm going to heaven even though I messed up. That's not what I said. You have to repent. But you're not going to live this perfect ideal life that we have. And I think the sooner we realize that, I think it's more of a religious mindset sometimes that keeps us in bondage, that thinks that we're just going to do this, do that, and we're never ever going to mess up, and then we're going to go to heaven, and everybody that messes up is not. It's kind of a bondage type of mindset. I'm striving every day to be like Jesus. I'm killing my flesh every day to be like Jesus. So we live in this world, not of the world, but there are times that our flesh overtakes us. Maybe we get overwhelmed and we worry. Maybe we come to the place where you might start bickering back and forth with your spouse. And can I tell y'all something? All of those things, this grumbling, this complaining, all of these things, God took care of the children of Israel because of it. So if God doesn't like it, then it's opposing to his word. We're not going to be perfect, but I strive for the perfect one. So he's telling us in this scripture, he's saying, take heed that no man deceive you. Because there are many that are going to come, and they're going to appear to be like Christ. My mind goes to this, to the Jim Jones episode, where we got so caught up, or where they got so caught up in man that they made him Christ. There was a church in Jefferson, Ohio, about 15 minutes from where I live. And there was an apostolic church, and the pastor had died, the father, and the son took over. Well, he got carried away with power, so they started to call him Christ Charles. And so one of the ladies that knew the Lord would not bow to him. He used to have a deliverance crew that if your children were unruly, these three men or women, they would throw kids out the window. They would beat children right in front of their parents because you couldn't discipline them. Christ Charles had to do it. So this woman left the church and had three or four kids or whatever, and the husband was still under the influence, thinking that this man was Christ. So the pastor went and beat the woman to death in her apartment. Do you know who's sitting in prison for the death of Sister Carolyn? The husband, because Christ Charles said, you did it. So this man is now living in Vegas somewhere. Millionaire. Living good. Still has people under his influence. Some of my family from my grandfather's side are yet under his influence. They live all in this big house. They get paid. They give their checks to him. He gives them money. Because man deceived them. Y'all know Jesus knew what was going to come. That's why he gave us the word of God. But the problem is people don't know the word of God, so they're easily deceived. The Bible said that if we're not careful, even the very elect are going to be deceived. So Jesus said, many are going to come and they're going to say that I'm the Christ. And many people have made idols Christ. And it's so easy to do, you know, especially when you don't really know God. You don't know the same God that lives in someone else is the same God that lives in you. Now, I'm not talking about honor, because we honor the God. We honor God always. And we are to honor our pastors, Joe and Alicia, as the pastors and the set shepherds of this house. But do you know that the same God is in them is the same God in you? But when you don't know it, you'll call everybody. Will you please pray for such and such? Don't you know the Lord? Yeah, but he'll listen to you quicker than. And I've said all of these things. I tell my grandfather sometimes to this day, Papa, will you please pray for such and such? And he'll say, one time I was not feeling well, and I said, Dad, will you just lay your hands on me and just pray for me? And he said, don't you know God? Lay your hands on your own self. I said, it's just something about when you pray. Now, I don't idolize him, but I'm telling you all something. God is teaching us. And then when I got married, I had to really like, Papa's not living in the house anymore. You are Papa now. So now you one day will have a daughter coming to you. Dad, will you pray for me? I'd be like, give me a second. Let's call your great-grandfather. So he said that there are many people that are going to come. He said you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. He said, but the end's not yet. You see the world and they start trembling. Well, what are we going to do? Because did you watch the news? Did you hear what they said? We're going to get bombed next week. These are just wars and rumors of wars. But I don't fear because the end's not yet, Jesus told me. That's what he told me. So you can go into war and you can make a rumor of war. But he already told me that that's not the end. Nation's going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. It still ain't the end. Do you know that the scriptures I read to you are only half of what Jesus told them in the full chapter? We're living out Bible prophecy and we're progressing to the coming of the Lord, but we're not there yet. And the reason I tell you these scriptures are because I want you to know that there is still time to work the work of him while it is day, because nighttime will come and no man shall be able to work. Woo! Habahasata. Hey, glory. Nighttime will come. No man will be able to work at nighttime, but it's still day. So I tell you, don't go somewhere and hide and wonder, what are we going to do? We're going to go in a recession. I'm not going to have any food. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Let me tell you all, me and my wife were talking maybe a few months ago, and I said, you know, thank God we have not, my gas light has been on. That's just because I don't like to go to the gas station. I think it takes too long. But you know, when I need the gas, I have the money to put it in my car. When I need food, I'm not eating SpaghettiOs. I mean chicken nuggets. So not only am I not going hungry, but I'm also eating what I want to eat. But if we're not careful, we'll take advantage of them chicken nuggets, and then we'll be like, I just want steak every day. Well, I'm sorry. I'm learning to be content wherever I find myself, because I know that the end is not yet. I know there's more to come, so I'm not going to bow my knee in fear to the system of this world. Woo, glory. I am not going to bow my knee to what they say. I will bow my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows all that I need. They tell you, do this, do that. You want to be prosperous? Cheat this way, cheat that way. I will not bow to that way. I'm not going to do it. My wife and I had a need. And I'm telling y'all, since Avea has been born, I have had one faithful man in my life, and his name is Bill. From Rainbow Children's Hospital, from the ER, and all these things, Bill just comes in my mailbox every day. He's been living with me since the birth of my child. And I think we're up to $20-something thousand in medical bills for the baby, and they still don't even know what's wrong with her. So anyway, we were talking about it, and we had to go to revival. And, you know, sometimes you go into a revival. And also, let me say thank you to everybody for your kind hospitality to my family and I. But we were going to revival, and, you know, sometimes you go to revival, and you don't preach for money anyway. And sometimes you don't get none, just to test if you really preach for it or not. So, you know, you don't get none. You stay at the shammiest of shacks. whatever. You know, all these things. So we were going to this place in West Virginia. They're not like this. I actually love this hotel in West Virginia. It's a little country hotel. The three old ladies been working there since I ever knew the people. They know who we are and everything. They know everything going on in our life. It's a small little town. So we were going and, you know, we were, you know, just talking. And, you know, I wasn't really worried. I'm not one that really worries about money. Because, I was telling my wife this the other day. We were talking. And I told her, I said, one thing I will do is quit my job to preach this gospel. And she's like, maybe not. Well, maybe actually, really, I don't know. But, you know, if it ever came to it, I had to choose between a job and preaching. I'm a preach. That's who I am. So, you know, so we were talking and we were just laughing and joking. I remember one time, I'm not as good as Pastor Alicia on the piano. I just know chords. So I was playing our piano at home and I'm just chording a song. And it really don't sound like, you know, my pastor's wife or Pastor Alicia. And, you know, and I told my wife, I said, and Avea was sitting on my wife's lap and I said, baby, I'm getting so good at this, I'm quitting my job. We're going full time to sing and preach. And Brittany didn't say nothing, but Avea looked and went. She's like, we going hungry, mommy. So I tell you all this. So we were in West Virginia and we had a need, a financial need, because we had gotten a medical bill, I think, a day or so before. And I just told the Lord, I said, God, you know, I often tell God this. If you want me to preach, I need you to make a way for me to preach. I cannot starve my family for the sake of preaching. I can't do it. Now, I love God more than anything. I'm learning to love him more than anything. But I can't starve my wife and child for the sake of a revival. I can't do it. Bible tells me if I fail to take care of my family, I'm worse than an unbeliever. That's what the Bible says. So I tell God all the time, if you want me to stay preaching, and I want to preach, I love to preach, I need you to help me. So not only did this little country church that the stage is bigger than the church, they blessed me greatly. Then a man came up to me the last night, gave me a good Pentecostal handshake. You know, get that crumbled dollar bill up in your hand. Bless you, Doc. Go get you a steak. $5. No, I'm just playing. He blessed me. Well, I didn't know anything about somebody going up to my wife and saying, the person said to my wife, I believe when I was in prayer this morning, the Lord told me to give this to you. $500. Do you not know? Can I tell y'all something? I had to go minister at the nursing home that I do on every third Sunday. And then they blessed me abundantly. I told my wife, I said, we got more preaching this weekend than what I would have getting paid for my own job. I remember when I took a week off work in 2022, I went to do a week revival. My job told me, they said, you can't go. I said, I'll show you what. I went to the head of the company. I said, I'm going. They told me I could go, right? I'm going. And we were getting married, and you know, weddings are expensive. And my wife said to me, I don't know how you're going to do because you don't have any PTO. And I didn't. I didn't have no PTO. So I was going a whole week without getting paid. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I just went. And I bowed my knee and I told the Lord, I said, God, you know what I need. And I told him all I needed. I said, God, all I need is $550. That'll cover my week pay. Do you not know I left that church with $3,000? That's God. He said, I will cause men to give unto your bosom. I'll press it down, I'll shake it together, and it will run over. When you do the business of, and this wasn't for frivolous spending. I drive a Honda. I want an Audi. But you know what? I don't have one yet. So it wasn't for frivolous spending. It was to do things that I actually needed done. He will supply all of your what? Needs. Not your wants, but your needs. Don't look at it like the world is coming to an end and I don't know what I'm going to do and I'm just going to go somewhere and just wait for an earthquake to come and scoop me up and just take me on home to Jesus. Work for Jesus while it's day. Because yes, all of these things are happening, but his word already told me that the end is not yet. What is the significance of that? It means that all of these things are happening. They're leading up to my coming, but it is not yet my coming, so you yet have time to build the kingdom of God. Build it up while you can. Save the lost through the power of God. Heal the sick through the power of God. Raise the dead through the power of God. Speak with new tongues and cause men and women to quicken by the power of God. All that we do in church should be driven by his power. I don't have power to heal affliction, but many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it's the Lord who delivers out of them all. Moses said, who do I tell Pharaoh that I am? He said, don't tell him who you are. Tell him I am that I am. Moses said, well, you know, I stutter. I'll send Aaron with you. I tell you all this because this all ties in to our eternity. All of this ties into eternity. Do you know the devil is trying to cripple the church so that we are not prepared for eternity? What do you mean? I'm doing good. I'm in church this morning. Do you know that there is somebody in your family that needs to be in church? There's somebody on your job that needs to be in church, and the Lord is calling you. Oh, no, I'll just tell him to call my pastor. No, your pastor preaches to you, and then he sends you out to go. I'll tell you all about my pastor. My pastor is a word man. And he's not like, you know, those that wants to, he's not one that is like, call me if you need anything. Call me if somebody else needs anything. He's not like that. He empowers you through the word. And then he just, and you're like, ah! And you're like, what am I doing? He's like, fly. And in the beginning, I was like, ain't he supposed to be flying with me? No. He empowers you with the flight. He empowers you with the greatest pilot in the world. That if you just be his co-pilot, Jesus will be your pilot. All he asks is that you're present. All he asks is that you do his work. Eternity is too long. And nobody knows how long is. But eternity is not just long, it's forever. That means there is no ending to it. It's not like I'm going on a 21-day diet. And then on the 22nd day, I'm going to Chop House. It's not like that. It's like you're forever on this thing. You're forever going to live with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're forever going to reign with him. But it's not just enough for you to reign with him. And it's not about me, my four, no more. It's about whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, who's going to tell them? In my closing, I remember Bishop Marvin Winans. He said, C.C. Winans' brother. Bishop Winans said he was driving in the car after a revival, and he was in the car with a whole lot of people from the church. And they had passed the bar, and there were these people out there fighting, just drunk fighting. And he said the people in the church said, look at those people, it's a sad shame. They ought to be in church somewhere getting saved or something like that. And instead of out here in the bar fighting and all that, and the Lord put a song in his heart. I love the song. All it said is, who's going to tell them Jesus loves them? Who's going to tell them there's a better way? Who's going to warn them of the things coming on them? Who'll tell them that God can turn their night to day? Who's going to tell them? Who? Who's going to live that example? Who? Well, my pastor does a good job. Good for your pastor. Where are you? What's the point of you coming all the time if you're not going to get empowered to do something? None of us were ever called to be pew warmers. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. Can I tell you all something? You might get too old to walk five blocks and evangelize, but I love church mother's pies. Bake a pie in the Holy Ghost. Feed it to the sinner, make them speak in tongues, first bite. There is never, ever. I remember our late bishop. I spoke of him last week, and I tell my wife all the time, probably every day, there's always something that I just wish I would have asked him. And then there are sometimes, I've only done it a couple times, I've called just to hear his voicemail, and I always tell my wife that he was such a man that no matter what I called him with, he had an answer. He was never like, I guess 71 years in the ministry, I guess. He was never like, I don't know, let me call you back. I'd be like, Bishop, what about such and such? Well, you know, such and such and such, and in certain John and blah, 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 blah. He was just that man. And he was that man, you know. And so when he died, like, I lost a father in the faith, a mentor in the faith. But, you know, I always remember this. He empowered us to send us out and do the work of the Lord. So there may be days you want to give up. Remember, Pastor Joe loves me so much, he empowers me through the word of God. Pastor Alicia loves me so much, she empowers me through the word of God. Brother so-and-so, pastor, preacher, doctor, sister, mother, so-and-so, they love me so much. And I'll tell you all, he said, one of the last things he said to me was he had brought to me a church that needed a pastor, and I told him, I said, Bishop, I don't really feel the Lord calling me in that manner. I said, I'm enjoying the road. And he said, well, pray. And then someone said to me, you would be a better pastor than me because you're younger than me. And I was like, that might be true. You are kind of old, but, you know, like, I don't want it. And Bishop said, I don't buy that age junk. He said, if God calls you, he'll give you the strength to do it. And so that's what I use on, you know, I asked one of the ladies at the church, the older ladies, I said, will you please make me some food? And I just, you know, preacher's going to almost get you to do anything. I said, please. And she said, you know, I'm just getting too, I don't cook as much. And I said, I don't buy that age junk. You never get too old to make me an apple pie. But you're never too old and you're never too young to work for Jesus. We don't know the hour or the day that the Son of Man is going to come. And I don't know if the musicians come back or not, but they can if they do. We don't know the hour nor the day that the Son of Man is coming back. But this I do know, is that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I will go from this life to eternity. And I don't just want to go by myself. I want my daughter to go with me. I want my daughter to go with her mother and myself. I want my mother who is not yet saved, I want her to go with me. I want my siblings who don't know the Lord to go with me. My dad doesn't even believe in God. I want him to know him one day so that he can go with me. I don't talk to my dad every day. You know what? I tell you all something. I don't have the greatest relationship with my parents. We live two opposite lives. And that's not the reason I don't have a relationship with them. But I've not even talked to my father since the day I got married last year on August 13th. He lives in the same city I do, and I've not seen him or spoke to him. But can I tell you all, I yet pray, God, save my father. I don't talk to him, but God, save my father. Lord, let him run into somebody. Let him run into somebody. He purposely, it almost seemed like, avoids me. We don't really talk, and the last time I did call him one time earlier in the year, our conversation was less than 2 minutes, I believe. Because we don't live the same life. He's uncomfortable. I'm okay. I just don't know what to talk about. But God, save my dad. Lord, save my mom. I know what she did to me. I know the abuse I went through because of her alcoholism. I know she lost all of my siblings, all five of us. My grandparents raised us because she chose the bottle over us. But actually, she chose the lust of the flesh over us. I know these things, God. I know I felt rejected. I know I felt hurt, but save my mother. My brothers and sisters, I know we've been done wrong by people outside the church. Our family has talked about it. They've done all things to us. But God, save them. That's the heart of God. Halalabasha. That's what's going to get us to eternity. By doing the work and the will of our Father. Everyone is standing. I don't just want to keep coming to church and feeling good because I'm going to heaven. And I don't just want to keep coming to church and knowing of God but never knowing God. That's why we are the way we are in the church world today. It's because we know of God, but so many are failing to know God for who He really is to them. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know what you need from God. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you don't know the Lord as your Lord and personal Savior. And I'm asking that every eye be closed for just a few moments, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you don't know the Lord, but you know that eternity is forever and you don't want to spend eternity without Him. Just by the slipping up of your hand, you can say, I want to accept Jesus into my heart. I want to accept Jesus. If you're not saved and you want to be saved, raise your hand. Raise it high so I can see you, please. If you're not saved and you want to be saved, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I see one hand, two hand. I see three hand. I see four hands that want to receive Christ. I see four hands. And if you would ever be so bold, those four hands that want to receive Christ, if you'll come to the altar that I can pray with you, that we can pray. If you'll come to the altar, if you want to receive Christ into your heart, come now, come now. Please come. Please come. If you want to receive the Lord, come. Come while the Spirit calls you. Come. If you want to receive Him, come.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find.
If you need prayer for any need, come. We want to pray with you. Come, come. Come while the Spirit calls.
Your heart's cry. Passing by this moment, to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. As He walked the dusty roadside on His way. Cried the woman, I must touch Him, lest I die. And she reached, touched His garment as He passed her by. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He.
Encourage you guys, if you have any unlost, unsaved loved ones, that let's use this time to really intercede for them, because we are talking about eternity. And so I know I have loved ones that I want to see make it. And so take some time just to talk to your Father about those lost loved ones or lost friends or lost neighbors, and let's just intercede for them and take a few moments.
Touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. As He walked the dusty roadside on His way
touch him, lest I die. And she reached and touched his garment as he passed him by. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he passed his by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by.
Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will.
sing that last verse.
Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath of living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is thou, our God Almighty, who was and is and is to come.
Yeah.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
I will adore you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we often think of worship as what we're doing right now, singing a song, coming together. But truly, worship is your service. Worship is your life and your service unto Jesus Christ. And the message you've heard today, thank you, Brother Nicholas, for being open and sharing even some of your family's struggles. The message you heard today was to stir you up. That's what the evangelist does. The evangelist stirs you up to either come to Jesus or go do something for Jesus, right? And he shared those struggles with you so that you understand that when we come to Jesus, we're still going to have struggles in life. Those are distractions to try to deter us from keeping our faith in Jesus Christ, to doing what he wants us to do. See, if we get so caught up in our own life, in our own world, then we forget that there are people dying and going to hell. But there's a day coming of eternity for each and every one of us. While it may be a somber message today, it's a message that we need to hear. Are we doing the work of Christ? Are we just going through and doing our own thing in this world? We call ourselves Christians. That means to be Christ-like. But are we really living a Christ-like life? Or are we just doing our own thing and coming on Sundays and Wednesdays and playing this thing we call church? You see, it's important. It's important that through it all, no matter what life's struggles come at us, and we keep our faith in Jesus, but we also keep our focus on eternity. Because if we lose our focus of forever, then we'll get too focused on the temporary. And we'll make this more important than our future. And God is saying, no, 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 no. Keep the main thing the main thing. I have done a work for you and in you, not just for now, but also forever. And we must live that and walk that out, and we must remember. And those things should stir our hearts, church, people of God. It should stir our hearts to say, I'll never take another person for granted. I'll never assume that everything's okay with them, but let me make sure that I share the message of Jesus Christ with them. Amen. I believe some of you receive that message today. You're a brand new person in Jesus. I believe some of you have been stirred today, and that's what this is all about, impacting eternity, our reach service. Let's reach into the world with the power and the presence of God that he's given us. Amen. And let's make a difference. Hallelujah. Because we can, because it's his power, not our power, right? I'm excited about what God's doing in his kingdom, and we're seeing more and more things happen here. And I want to remind you, next week will be our bilingual service. It'll be the first Sunday of the month. It'll be our bilingual service. Please make sure you get some flyers and pass those out. Let people know.
Pastors Deris and Dunya are on vacation this week. That's why they're not here, but they will be back, and Pastor Deris will be preaching. I'm excited to hear the word of God. And actually, Brother Jorge will be translating. So we're excited about that, and we're excited about what God is doing in our Hispanic church plant and how he's bringing us together. Amen. We are one people in God, and we love one another, and it's exciting to see how God is reaching so many lives and changing them. And so don't forget about that. If you'll stand to your feet, I know most of you are standing already, but we're going to be dismissed. And I want you to leave this place encouraged, focused on what God would have you to do this week. Last week, I told you by the Spirit of the Lord, who was speaking to us, that God was going to give us burdens that we were supposed to give back to him. And my prayer is that you've done that this week, but it's going to happen again in this week. And he's going to put people on your heart and things in your life, and you're going to have to run to God and give them to him. Amen. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep communication with him. Let's keep praying one for another. Let's let God bring us even closer in unity with one another as we are in union with him. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every heart and life that has been ministered to. And God, we know that your word does not return unto you a void, but it accomplishes what you've sent it to do. I believe that it's done that today, that your word has accomplished what you want it to do, and it's going to continue to work. Your word is working in us, even into this week, Lord. And as we follow after you and seek your face this week, God, I know that you're going to place different burdens on our hearts. We're going to see different things. We're going to minister to people because of our love and our care for them. And God, you see the needs that we have, the difficulties that we are facing, Lord. We bring them to you right now, and I thank you, Lord, that we won't allow them to be distractions. We won't allow them to deter us from keeping our faith in you, but we will stand strong, Father, in our faith. Even when it feels like it's wavering, we'll just keep running to you, God, and know that you keep us and you guide us. So, Father, I just pray blessing upon every family that's represented here, every life, Lord. Bless us, keep us. May your face shine upon us, and let us continue to live in your peace. Let us share that peace with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You have a wonderful Sunday. Don't forget to pick up your kids.